Welcome to the Presentation Podcast. Join us from inside the design studios for conversations about presentation design, strategies, tips and tricks, running the design studio, and more, all for presentation designers, managers, and presenters. Here are your hosts, Troy Collar, Nolan Hames, and Sandra Johnson.
Hi, I'm Troy Collar from TLC Creative Services, Inc., based in Southern California.
Welcome to the Presentation Podcast. I'm Sandy Johnson with Presentation Wiz in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
And I'm Nolan Hames from Nolan Hames Creative in Montclair, where it's raining and we had tornado watches the other day.
Oh, well, there's a first that I've heard of. Wow.
Yeah. Well, we were okay, but we got literally we got things on our phone saying, like, go to your basement, and we're in New Jersey.
No. I mean, that's a warning, my friend. That's a warning. Did you go to your basement?
We did not. We were fine. It was...
Canva... It's an online design tool that labels itself as, and I'm quoting here, amazingly simple graphic design software. Simple as in easy to use. In my opinion, not robust on features that are simple to use. Canva is valued at almost $4 billion today. So they are doing something right, and they do have a lot of users. Well, we decided to each build a presentation in Canva from the same outline of content and compare our experiences and share the results.
Well, first of all, who uses Canva? Do you guys use it for presentations, for anything?
I signed up years ago and played with it then, but I haven't used it since for a real project. But I did turn my wife onto it. She does some marketing, some side projects, some marketing stuff. And she's been using it for the last few months to create social media graphics and even a 4-page brochure at one point.
Oh my God.
Which that didn't go over so well. Oh. But she's not a designer. So she is loves it. And for what she's producing, it's fantastic. But okay. I personally don't use it.
Okay. Well, I've only used it for the last couple of years on and off for social media. And then only on my Android phone or my iPad. So what is, how is Ty using it? On a PC, a Mac? What is she?
A Mac. Okay. She does some stuff on the iPad, but I think mostly on her MacBook Air. Now, why are you, when you say for social media, like, why are you using that and not PowerPoint or Photoshop or what? Like, what are you creating?
Because it's accurate to the social media sizes. Mm-hmm. And I'm too lazy to think about what size, what the crop should be on my images, that type of thing. Okay. In PowerPoint.
So, and are you mostly using all their content and resources, or just uploading your own? And
I will start with a template and change fonts and add backgrounds.
Okay.
So I really haven't been a Canva user. I've been aware of it. I've looked at it over the past several years. I've opened it up and, you know, kind of poked around and had a client who did something in it, you know, and then I go in and look at it, or had a client question, or maybe it was a, a input question from the blog or something. So I've kind of poked around it, but I've never really used it until now. What's funny is when we started this project, I went to log in and I was like, ooh, do we have a TLC account? So I went in over to, you know, our SharePoint site. I'm like, oh, we do have a TLC account. So, you know, we actually had an account for the studio, and I guess it's been used. I feel Canva is working hard to change what it is perceived as, and working obviously to expand its user base. I kind of had Canva in the category of Adobe Spark, which, you know, the social media content creator, like you're talking about. Have you guys used Spark before?
I have not.
Adobe Spark.
You know, right. Conversation for another time, because that conversation doesn't go far anyways. you know, reading the headlines about Canva, and I know this our conversation was kind of sparked by the news that Canva recently bought, stock houses, Pexels and Pixabay both. And, you know, the valuation of $4 billion, you know, being touted, it's big. So I personally see it as a social media content, but I don't think that's what their focus is right now, and they're trying to change that. Here's two quick things I thought were really interesting. I found an article, and it started with, quote, the presentation software company, talking about Canva as a presentation software company. So they didn't tout them as a as an online design tool. They didn't tout themselves as a social media asset builder, which I think is their absolute strong point. Because if you want to do Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, you know, they have templates that fit all the exact maximum optimized parameters for images in each of the platforms. And the images can magically adjust basically from one to the other. I think it's it's phenomenal, to be very honest, for what they do there. But, you know, the presentation software company. So that tells you right there, that's where they want to focus. And then in another article, although they're using the word startup in this article, and the company is 7 years old, it read, Australian startup Canva just raised $70 million to take on Microsoft PowerPoint and Google's G Suite. So first of all, that was pretty interesting that it's Google's G Suite, which is... I think Google Slides is the least used element of G Suite, but Microsoft PowerPoint, and PowerPoint is the most used element within there. You know, but anyways, they're definitely focused on us and presentation. Wanting to, ultimately, I think they'd want to get presentation professionals touting and using their software.
Yeah. Well, a few years ago, whose name I'm. We had a speaker at the presentation summit. Guy Kawasaki. Sorry. He was a, I don't know what you call a influencer, or I think was working for Canva, kind of touting them a few years ago. That's sort of, that might've been the first time I sort of like, it was my eyes were open to Canva, and also maybe the last time that from the presentation world, we've really heard them as kind of a wanting to be a competitor. I was about to say being a serious competitor, but we'll get into that. I'm sorry, Sandy, you were going to say something?
I was going to make a joke. I guess it's how you define what a presentation is. I mean, you could argue that presentation, and I use this argument all the time, it goes beyond the podium, it goes beyond the webinar, it's how you appear, it's in social media, it's how you appear. It's your personal brand. So they may be stretching the word, but I think you're right. They're trying to, for that article, Troy, they're trying to take on PowerPoint.
So, okay. So on that note, so if Canva wants to take on PowerPoint and Google Slides and maybe Keynote, maybe Prezi, I don't know. So we took that as a challenge, I guess. Troy created a sample 10-slide presentation outline. And we all designed our own versions of that presentation. Troy, Sandy, and I, and Troy also had some of his designers create their own versions. So we all spent some time with the program learning how to create presentations with it. And what is the verdict, Troy? Tell us about your experience.
I don't know about verdict, but experience. You know, on their website, there's this large call out when you're, you know, as you go into the presentation area, literally forget PowerPoint exclamation point, design stunning presentations that engage your audience. But I definitely struggled with being efficient with design time while working in Canva. Lots of fiddling with text and tables we'll talk about later and other elements. I've come to expect a more robust set of editing options. So while it is easy to figure out how to use the program, I was kind of frustrated using it, to be very honest.
So the problem with all of these, quote, PowerPoint killers, right? You know, these online sort of presentation tools, we've seen a lot of them out there. I think with a few exceptions is that while they have some, you know, some interesting and sometimes very efficient, you know, features in some regards, they just end up having a fraction of the functionality and options of PowerPoint or Keynote. I mean, like you, I had a lot of difficulty actually customizing content and designing slides. Additionally, you know, a lot of, again, these sort of PowerPoint killers, they establish a UI that aims to be simple and clever, and that's a good thing. But what ultimately ends up happening is it ends up being less effective when you need to start adding features as all of these, you know, programs eventually learn. They're like, oh, people want more than just bar charts and pie charts. Okay, well, let's add this, or let's add the ability to put a table in or a video or whatever. And then that UI they set up initially just it can't really support it. Right. Do you guys remember the, I know you weren't real Prezi users, but do you remember the Prezi wheel?
Yes.
What do you mean by, first of all, I was a very heavy Prezi user. We dedicated machines to it. We got hired. Well, we did as many, we haven't done a Prezi project in quite a while, but financially we ended up doing as many unconverts. In other words, take them from Prezi back to PowerPoint so people could use the content again as we did Prezi. But yeah, for about 2 years, we got calls probably every week we had a Prezi request come in.
So, well,
what was the wheel? I'm not sure what you're talking about.
The wheel was when it first came out, and I don't know for how many years it stuck around, at the top left, in order to do anything to insert text or whatever. Yeah, the UI, there was like this wheel that would like rotate. It would like have all these spokes that, you know, could come out. It's hard to explain.
I remember.
And it was very clever, but eventually as people needed to use it more and they needed to add more things and everything, they just fortunately made the decision. They said, all right, this is done. Like, we're going to go back to a more traditional, you know, menu type thing. But yeah, that wheel was like, oh, it's so clever. There's just one little button. You do, everything happens with this button. And it just, once you start actually using this stuff for real purposes, it kind of falls apart. And that's when you're like really in the weeds of creating a presentation, you're doing lots of things, you need to click, you know, lots of stuff. It's not that, it becomes much more than what that engineer demo was in the boardroom, right? Of, you know, three clicks to make a beautiful slide. Look here. Oh, wow. That's amazing. You know, you're worth $4 billion now. I'm sorry. I'm getting it. Sandy,
that's exactly it.
Tell us about
there are reasons they're valued, but specifically on presentation, I think it's a different conversation.
So, Sandy, what was your experience like?
I think their designs are beautiful. It made me feel good to look at the different options I guess I didn't even get to the end. Looking at all the, what they call templates, were absolutely stunning.
I'm assuming you just did air quotes, Sandy, right?
How did you see me?
You're in Minnesota, but I could hear them.
That is awesome. Yes, I did. But, you know, what template means that they're setting me up for success, that what I'm using should be easy to use. It should help me be consistent from one slide to the next. I made the mistake in my first try to start customizing these templates from the beginning, and that was fruitless. My second try... when I was working 100% with the template, it went really well and I was actually enjoying it. So I can see the target audience right now. But I have to tell you this, guys, all of a sudden on my second try, when I was moving along and really enjoying designing, my presentation completely disappeared. I got an error message that said, sorry, your file hasn't been saved in the last 60 seconds, and we're going to send it to the trash. It was something to that effect. What? I was so stunned.
And you know what? There is a trash can.
There is, but it's not in there. I looked. It's not there.
Because ours is full. I'm trying to figure out where these things come from. I've looked in it before. Okay.
Yeah. Huh. So anyway, talk about, can you imagine in a corporate environment? I had created all of my slides and I was going back in and tweaking and customizing.
It's gone? Gone.
So get this too. The tagline, it takes 23 seconds to learn. I guess the simple interface is what they mean.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, yes, I mean,
it has to be.
I don't know where 23 seconds come from, but I mean, you like with a lot of tools, you can get up and start working with it. You can start creating slides. You know, you said template, and I instead of maybe using the word template, I feel like what they provide are pre-designed slides. Okay. And I think there's a difference. Would you agree with that? Like, there's a difference between a template and pre-designed slides. Because I just don't. I feel like you bring over these pre-designed slides and, you know, they are well designed, but then you have to overwrite the content or swap the content rather than in a real template you put in your content.
And you're Nolan.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of a subtle difference. But when you're just replacing what they have designed with your own stuff, it's a lot harder. That's a lot harder lift.
That's right.
And things get
so it is not easy to use as a template because it isn't a template. You're right.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, okay. So aside from the fact that we're admittedly not Canva experts yet, what would be like the fastest way? What would be faster for you to develop your sample presentation? Doing it in Canva, PowerPoint, or like Google Slides?
I'll say if we wanted to create a pre-designed, somewhat well-designed look, look and feel for our presentation, I'd say Canva wins, actually. You can just drag and drop. You can just drag and drop things from different quote templates. And, you know, if that is, if you are really just changing content slightly and you always have a three line header for that slide and you always have three items here. But when you need to start replacing dummy content with your own, that's where things slow down for me significantly.
What you said, I can see high school students and college students going to town with this very
absolutely
quickly.
Mm-hmm. yeah completely. So the only I'm gonna make an aside here, the only time I've seen Prezi utilized, actually this isn't true, I just had a meeting last month where one of the executives had is it Prezi Next? You know, the whole presentation showed up and we ran it. It was no problem. It looked very nice. The only time I've seen Prezi used in mass lately is for the past 2 years. One of the events we do, it's the interns, the end of the internship. So they have all these college interns at a corporate company and they get to present on their experience. And it's really funny. It's not mandated. We have keynote machines. We have PowerPoint machines. We have a Google Slide setup and we have a Prezi available. And like 90% of them use Prezi past 2 years. And we haven't been asked to do a Prezi professional design presentation in 2 years. So that's where I see it. And I instantly thought, like you, Sandy, I'm like, I bet the next internship, because there's so much advertising and marketing and, you know, just awareness being generated by Canva, Canva will be used at that next event by the interns, because that's kind of where I categorize the usage. So as far as which would I use, first of all, I believe we qualify as Canva design experts, because presentation design, it's about design, how to effectively lay out content for your audience, you know, support a presenter, align with corporate, brand standards. That may be Prezi's downfall a little bit. The software used is really the secondary element. So working with Canva was frustrating for the most part. But it was because I knew what I wanted to accomplish and it was hard to accomplish it. And it wasn't so much, you know, maybe the 23 seconds is I could find all the tools because they weren't really hidden. There's not like layers of stuff to find. So I did figure out what was there, but I kept running into here's what I need and it's not available. The sample presentations we developed, they're very much in the professional design category, but I would still use PowerPoint as my fastest design tool. That being said, Canva probably has the best prefabbed library of templates, slides ready to go out of the gate. So if you had no direction whatsoever, maybe Canva would win just for the fact you can pick something and drop in your content
from a design
fairly efficiently.
Yeah, from a design perspective, that's much better design than PowerPoint's templates
and Google Slides. I would say I don't recall now. It's been ever using any sample content from Google Slides. I think there are resources off the site, but Canva has them built right in.
So we know they have a good design team over there. I think the engineering and, you know, UI team, that's sort of different. And maybe they would benefit from having, you know, people over there who really do understand the presentation space and how it's used by users. Yeah.
Well, the slides themselves are designed very well. It's just the tools are the limiting factor, but.
Exactly. Troy, you mentioned about the investment that Canva is making in their platform, and they recently acquired Pexels and Pixabay. We have add-ins for them, I think, in PowerPoint. Do you guys use those?
Do I use the add-ins?
Well, or Pexels or Pixabay.
I tend not to. I mean, I always tout them to non-designers when I train. I just generally, you know, stick with iStock and Unsplash and you know, other things. Slightly more, I don't want to say professional, but a higher grade, maybe imagery.
Sure.
Is that okay to say?
I've used Pixabay for several projects. I can't say absolutely recently because it's not in our wheelhouse of standard stuff, but we have a Pixabay account. We've made use of it. Maybe this is a question. PowerPoint really doesn't have a built-in image resource. I mean, Canva has lots. And I think this is one of its really big strong points. And they've just acquired two more.
I know.
I mean, they list millions of images available. Now, granted, some of those are free and there's in-app premium purchases, which are very reasonable for purchasing. But and pro accounts have more on the free list, but we can talk about that more later. Here's the question. Because PowerPoint doesn't have really an image resource, is that a disadvantage for designers or people developing a presentation?
Huge, huge. I mean, PowerPoint's doing a lot on the design front, you know, with Designer and trying to help, and, you know, even SmartArt trying to help people create graphics all within PowerPoint, people who are not designers. But the image, and they brought icons in, which is fantastic too. But on the image front, they just, where are they? You know, why didn't Microsoft buy Pexels and Pixabay?
Right.
I mean, I think last I checked, I think their valuation is probably bigger than Canva. They've done some good things with these third party tools that allow, you know, stock sites to, you know, have little widgets inside and, you know, insert online pictures is good for Creative Commons searches. But yeah, finding good legal imagery to use from within PowerPoint is just still a huge blind spot that they just haven't paid attention to.
Troy, what do you think?
Maybe I kind of have the opposite opinion, Nolan. I really like the direction Microsoft is going of opening up access to external companies. And we know from some other conversations that ability to, you know, tag in widgets and stuff is getting better. Like that demo we saw where SVG directly from a little widget or side pane will be supported, so they don't have to be ping images. And I like that Microsoft is not becoming the, hey, we'll provide you everything you need. You know, on our computers, we have the Noun project directly in PowerPoint, our Adobe Stock account and Picket accounts. They're all available directly within PowerPoint. Now, granted, the Noun project, it's always a downfall because you get a ping image, not an SVG, but it's there. I feel it's a huge blind spot, but I also feel that any company that wants to provide an internal resource to meet all of their users' needs, it's going to get old and stale. I mean, there's just no way you can keep up with it. So maybe PowerPoint or Microsoft's doing the right thing of saying, we're not going to do it. We're just going to make it so you can pick yours and bring in these other resources. And it means more work for the designer because Canva definitely makes that 23-second statement. Hey, you could find an image. It had a pretty good search, you know, find a, you know, dog barking on beach. You could find several images and drop one in very, very quickly. So that's an advantage until you've used the same dog four times.
Yeah, but we want PowerPoint to be, we want it to be more everything to everyone, right? So where Haiku Deck, for example, that is still around.
That's a whole other approach.
So Haiku Deck clearly came out and said, we're the simplest possible way we're going to do it. You know, here you've got images and a little text and like, I think it doesn't even not let you do more, like one more, like more than one line of text. I don't know if they've changed that.
It's very limited. Yep.
So they were really going for the very bottom, simple, like most simplistic presentation. And Canva now obviously is going after non-designers, wants people to be able to have a high level of design without those skills. And so they're giving them all these assets, everything. PowerPoint is doing that in some respects, like even SmartArt, you know, years ago, introducing that allows people to create business graphics like at the touch of a button. Designer is doing the same. Imagery is just such a huge part of presentation that it's still this empty spot for the people who do want to just open up PowerPoint and create a presentation in 5 minutes for whatever. So they would be fine picking one of 100 business images. Now, we're not going to do that because
if we gave a 5-minute challenge, if we modified our earlier thing, said you have 5 minutes to use only this program, Canva would win because I could do content, some diagramming, some charting, and all my images directly inside the program. PowerPoint would definitely, it would be more of a flat design because there's no imagery options. There'd be a lot of icon use most likely. Yeah. And with Haiku Deck, I thought you were going with the fact that I don't even know if Haiku Deck had images available natively, but they linked to everybody else internally. And they did a lot of the, Creative Commons. Mm-hmm. I can't think of, Commons searches. So they'd find, you know, millions of images for you, but they didn't actually own them all. They were just pulling them from the web, and you assumed that they were licensed appropriately.
Guys, so question for you. Yeah. Designer, you know, is working with the layout standpoint, but we're talking about photos.
Yeah, just content.
Yeah. And okay.
And you know what's really funny is I actually drew some, as I was looking through the templates, I was like, this kind of looks like a design, you know, because designers got some, I mean, it's got some really nice designs, some layouts, I should say. And they're the Canva templates, great inspiration, actually. Mm-hmm. When I'm looking through some of our design team's concepts, the one, whose is this? Amber did one that, you know, it starts off because we did a medical themed presentation. You know, start off with a medical image. And then for the second slide, the, you know, our PAM presenter, our fictitious person, that same area became the photo of, we had assumed it's PAM. And it was a very nice layout. I was like, hey, that's very cool. But it looks very designer-esque. Well, which anyways, so, you know, there's design trends happening and designers right on trend. Canva is definitely right on trend. Did you guys use any of the images built into the image library in Canva when you're building yours, or did you use external images?
I tried both. I got a little tired quickly of seeing premium images mixed in with free ones. And I know you can filter that way.
No, but you can't. I couldn't figure out how to filter them out. I could not figure out. I just said, I want to see the available free ones, and I could not find a filter option for it. So maybe I missed that.
I'm the kind of person.
I was frustrated by that.
Yeah, I'm the kind of person that hates having to make decisions like on the spot of whether to purchase content or not while I'm designing. Mm-hmm. And I have no idea if you can get your money back if you decide to use this image and then, you know, an hour later, that slide gets cut. And
now, for what it's worth, the premium images are almost all like in the $1 to $2 range, which
yes, right.
It's just better than almost all the other sites. Sandy, did you do anything?
I did. I tried both. I first tried looking for a map with the built-in library.
We had a map slide, people. One of the slides was find a U.S. map and show, what was it, 19 locations. And I looked for a map there. Wait, did I use their map? I gotta look. You go.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. I mean, we should say that are we going to try to have these samples available to our
Have them. You know what? I've got, I will put the three of our samples directly in the show notes. So I guess the PDF, because we'll talk about the output options, mm-hmm. but there'll be a PDF. So you can see some of the slides designed. Exact same content designed by the three of us. You know, we'll put them there. And then I actually have a blog series going that's going to come out the same time as what we're talking now. And I did a whole series of kind of information about Canva and a number of samples. And so I'm going to throw our design team's ones in there too, because it's kind of interesting to see the exact same content displayed multiple ways. And we do this internally all the time when we have a presentation, especially a template design. We kind of put it out there as a, you know, we've gamified it. You know, hey, everybody, we've got a budget of this many hours. Everybody designed this, and let's see what we come up with as ideas. And you know, it's the exact same content, but we get such diversity.
Great.
And I think that's, you know, we're creatives. Yeah. You know, the three of us, our presentations look totally different. So, anyways, on the map thing, mm-hmm. I did end up using one of their maps, but it wasn't what I wanted. I liked it, but I was looking for something a little different, and it just wasn't there. So I kind of settled for what was there. Is how I felt.
Here's what I tried to do. I tried to import the map as a vector. I thought I'd test that, and I could not do that. I did figure out how to do this, a workaround for Google Slides. That's not intuitive either on Google Slides. Maybe the same approach will work for Canva, but I haven't taken the time to test it. Canva doesn't obviously support WMF or EMF or SVG.
Oh, well, there's the free account, which gives you things. Then there's a pro account. We actually have a pro account, and it does add more images, although not nearly as many. And it has a big notation about you can use transparent backgrounds, which is pings. But I believe that also means that it adds vector. And I'm just kind of speaking out of turn. I don't know if there's a difference in.
Take it for a spin. I couldn't insert an SVG.
You know, now that I'm looking at it, I only inserted images.
Yeah.
The only thing that would be vector-based, I did pull from their library.
Okay. Oh, good point. So that's interesting. I did not try that using anything from their library.
So how was building, let's talk about charts and diagrams. How was building that in Canva?
One word, painful.
Yeah. they only, how many charts do they give you? They give you, I put a here.
It's less than one screenful. So
they give you bar chart. Okay. They first of all, they call a column chart a bar chart. Then they call a bar chart a row chart. And I don't know if that's is that an Australian thing maybe? I don't know. And then they give you line chart and pie and donut and that's it.
Yep. End of story.
Yep.
And by the way, when you go from a free account to a pro account, they don't change. I thought there would be more.
That would be
now. There are a couple of variations. Yeah, well, they're really just color variations. I mean, yeah.
Well,
what's interesting though is their bar chart is they're all natively the bar and the row. They're all natively stacked depending on your data. They automatically stack. So you know, in PowerPoint, you got to decide: did I want this to have a double column of data to stack, or you know, all of it side by side? But yeah, it was just compared to other tools, I found this one simplistic, limited, and kind of painful.
Yeah. Well, speaking of data, though, did you notice that there was an option to paste a spreadsheet?
No.
Yeah, right underneath that, where you enter the data manually, there's a blank space for pasting your spreadsheets.
Oh. Well, I did not try. I wish I had.
Did you guys figure out, you know, when you go into the chart, you get the spreadsheet area, which I actually didn't know you could paste into there. But did you guys figure out that... did you figure out how to remove the X and the Y axis information?
I tried to give up.
No.
You have to delete the actual row or column in the chart editor, but it didn't really solve my problem because my real problem was I wanted different font sizes because, you know, it angled the fonts literally off the slide. It didn't even cut them off. They were there, which was awesome. It didn't cut them off like PowerPoint will, but it also didn't make each of the axes have to be the exact same font size. So I had to I expanded the chart. I actually changed the slide layout so that the chart could be wider to fit the let's see here,
labels.
The x-axis labels that I invented were too long. They didn't stack. I thought it would stack. It was kind of, that was another frustrating thing. So I did figure out how to remove them, although I ended up putting them back in. So, okay. Our presentation, speaking of things that didn't work out well, I put together this presentation. People, just so you know, it's a medical presentation and it's based on me opening up probably 5 or 6 different presentations from 5 or 6 different clients. So it's totally fictitious. The drugs don't count. They're not real. The diagrams are nothing. There's nothing real about this outside of the fact that it looks like real stuff you get. Of course, I could throw real medical stuff we put out there. No one would believe that's actually real stuff. Nobody actually talks about that. Yeah, they do. Okay. Speaking of stuff that didn't work out, the sample one, because I wrote this sample deck before working in Canva, it had not one, but two table slides. Let's talk about tables in Canva.
There are tables in Canva? No, there are no tables in Canva, right?
Exactly. So, that was a huge surprise.
And that's the kind of thing you're going to like searching around for. Okay, there's got to be a way. There's got to be a way. Where? Nope, there's no way, right? Right?
I could not believe there is not a built-in table option that is functional, I will say. I mean, you guys did see when you go into elements that, hold on, what do they call it? I close that chart. Searching. Oh, grids.
The matrix. Grids, yeah.
Yeah, which is really, no, sorry, not grids. Nope, grids is different. Or is it a grid?
No.
Because, hold on, I'm going to insert a grid right now. It's not a grid. Which is the one? They have like these fake tables. Like, what's this thing here? I found one. I just can't find because it's in my recent. Anyways, it's a fake table. It's basically a graphic of where all the table elements are. You can't change it.
You can't format
automatically.
It.
You can't say add another row. You can't say add another column. And it doesn't have text boxes. You have to manually lay text boxes into or on top of each of the sections. That is not a table. That is creating a diagram it's just. One of our designers did figure out, one of the designers on our team did figure it out that you could make a nice table in PowerPoint. You can copy from PowerPoint, go over to Canva and paste, and it puts it in as a static ping image. So it's not an editable table, but it does give you a nice looking table, which was much better than spending the 10 to 20 minutes manually creating one with all the you know, individual text boxes like I did. But that kind of defeats the purpose of using Canva, not PowerPoint. But it was an interesting discovery that things literally copied across very efficiently.
What did you think about the font management, the typesetting?
Troy, I'll let you take this.
Hold on, I'm opening one up just so I can kind of.
I thought it was pretty nice. I liked how the I mean, this is a basic thing, but I'm copying and pasting text all the time. And it was so clean. The process from copying from the PowerPoint presentation, Troy, that you built and pasting it into the placeholder in Canva, it went perfectly from Arial to Roboto.
That was good.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Worked really well.
I had a clunkier experience. I found a lot of times I would paste things into text boxes and the text would disappear or just not take on the style that was there. And so I don't know if that's a Mac Safari thing, but like sometimes it would work and sometimes it wouldn't. And it was a little frustrating. But also the text boxes, you want to be able to resize them. And that's not the default behavior, which I guess you just learn. You've got to hold down command to change your text box.
I didn't figure that out.
Yeah.
Maybe control. Hold on. How do I zoom in?
I mean, you can resize it in two different ways. If you just go to the corner and start, you know, making it bigger, it makes everything bigger. It just doesn't make the text box bigger. And then I found sometimes I would paste text in and it wouldn't auto fit it. So it would,
Sidebar. And I want to get back to the finish our discussion on text, but you were talking about holding the command key. When I was working with photos, you know how in PowerPoint, when you want to constrain something, you hold the shift key down and then you resize. If you hold the shift key down in Canva and try to resize, it crops. Just something
not
I
text.
Learned.
Well, wait.
No. I switched to pictures. That's why we have to go back to text. But
I'm resizing.
This is an official sidebar.
Well, that's.
That's really cool.
Yeah, that's useful, actually.
They have no pop-up tips, which, by the way, I usually turn off in PowerPoint. But here. Oh, that's interesting. That's actually, because I definitely spent a lot more time. That would have been a lot easier. I could have saved a lot. Because they have a crop button up at the top, the crop and the flip and the adjust. So back to the text.
Yeah, sorry.
I felt the font options were really good. I actually was really impressed with the amount of fonts that were built into it. And selecting fonts and using fonts, they were all really good. I did find it a huge limitation. You can only have one font size per text box. Did you guys encounter that? Our diagnosis qualify treatment thing. I was just, because I didn't have tables, I was just going to do, I did a big bold, year and then the number of cases for that year range. Had to split that into two text boxes, which was kind of painful to align. Not painful. It just took more time than just hitting a, return, typing in the rest and changing the size, because you change the size of one thing, even with it highlighted. In my experience, it just, changed the whole text box. So I believe it's only one font size per text box. That's kind of a big deal when you're getting into formatting, because now you're adding a lot more text boxes and, adding more time.
Sure. Did you guys try to switch templates in the middle of your project?
Boy, did I. Yeah. So
what was your experience, Nola? Because I did too.
Right. So for those of you who have not played with this, you have all these templates and you make your slides and you can mix and match layouts from different templates, which is cool. But one would think that if you select a slide and you find another design that you like better, you might be able to swap that in. Well, you can. But when you swap it in, it deletes all your content.
Right.
And this is why I'm saying it's not really a template. It's a pre-designed slide. So it replaces your custom slide with this pre-designed slide.
Without the content.
I fell into the same trap. I literally let's try. And I was actually in the same template. I was like, let me see if this will work good. Cause I have this title on the left. I'm going to put the title over on the right. Cause it's just a big, more of a call out and boom, everything was gone. So yeah. Hey, the undo feature works really well. I did test it with this.
Okay. Good.
I didn't lose anything. It did come back right the way I had it before, but I basically said, well, I'm going to stick with this layout because it's too much effort to change it.
Exact same thing happened. I was all excited because the click and drag feature for pulling in your design ideas, your design slide idea is really easy. Guys, your designs are on the left, your workspace is on the right, and you just click what you want and you pull it in. So I'm thinking, well, this is going to be so cool to change template. I don't even know what to call it, but
slide design
just disappeared. Not
gone.
Yep.
Undo, or did you? Because if you click past the undo, I don't know if you're gonna undo past that.
I only did it with one slide. I didn't pursue it.
Okay. Wow. So it disappeared. Like, this is the one we were talking about where your whole file just is gone.
No, this is different. This is the same issue that you two were having when we tried to switch templates. Okay. Yes.
Suddenly your one page is suddenly not what you thought it was.
Right.
What about presenting? What about presenting mode? Slideshow mode, I guess.
I'm still trying to figure out that animation thing in there because we had the pro account. You have to have pro account to have animation. Yeah, but
I was going
to
ask. I didn't know there was animation. I know there are transitions, but it's only you can only pick,
exactly. Yeah. You can only they say animation.
One, you can make one transition for your whole presentation, yep. Right?
Exactly. Yeah, it's sort of. I think you have to have the pro account to even get to the animation, and it's very abstract. It just assigns it to the whole presentation, and it creates a series of animated. I think it basically creates like a series of animated presentations. Like each slide becomes its own thing because the whole thing reanimates. You can't have any consistency of like an image staying from one slide to another, and the other elements animate. Everything animates.
Did you try the fade transition? Because it's the same thing. Did you try it?
I know I was trying to use the slide one because I liked the effect until it did it to everything, and then it kind of became a little too much. I'm sure I did. I don't think
I had the experience when I played it. Then it was so it stuttered really, really a lot. So, when on the other hand I converted it to video, and it's the same process when you're trying to create a video, export the file. You have to choose a transition, and that's when it's kind of fun. You end up with like a self-running presentation. It animates. Not only does it apply a transition, it animates the individual elements on the slide. But you have no control.
Yeah, exactly. It just all kind of happens. Well, maybe we should talk about any comments on file type and export options. So Sandy used the video export.
Well, before we get to that, I'd want to point out it does have a presenter view, and it actually calls it presenter view.
Did you get it to work?
I was able to get it work because I have two monitors here. So you have to drag, you know, it basically gives you two screens or it gives you a new screen. You drag that to the second monitor, make it full screen, and then you still work off of the browser, the main browser window where it's now, it calls it presenter view, which is exactly what
I didn't
it is
get it to work. I was trying to avoid it because I was trying not to talk about things that I think might be my issue, but I saw it. I tried it. It froze up. That's the only time Canva actually did freeze up on me, and I had to close my browser to get out of it in a pretty dramatic way.
Your mileage may vary, certainly.
Okay. I had a lot of fun exporting as an animated GIF. I mean, there's animated GIF software out there.
See, but again, that's a social media element. That's not a presentation element. And, you know, I think they're mixing the two because tons of people do social media, you know, animated GIFs and little elements. And that's where Canva really shines. And saying your presentation can be that is kind of, I don't know. I don't categorize that as a presentation.
I agree.
It was cool. It does good.
It was cool.
So what about, so you obviously experimented with stuff more than I did. I mean, we all did PDFs because we have PDFs, and I think that's what we'll post. That's the best way. But the video export, I haven't actually played with it.
I did not.
The animated GIF, I definitely did not play with. Hold on. Let me open up the menu here. Well, you know, they have the export to PowerPoint, which shows Canva.
I didn't try that.
It doesn't have Google Slides. It doesn't have other options. It does show Canva knows what it needs to do to work in the real world. Hey, people are going to need to use this in the largest software presentation platform on the planet. So it is an option there. You know, you got the,
Did you try it? I did.
Results, hopefully very, did you find the results good?
Not great. I mean, sure. It kind of shows what you made if you want to run it in PowerPoint, but in terms of further editing, they don't really understand templates. It did make a couple of layouts. They actually were named, interestingly.
So you looked at the master slides and the master layouts?
They were named comparison and title and content, and yet the elements that are usually there are not there. So it's very clunky. I mean, I think Adobe's Acrobat's convert to PowerPoint is far superior. I mean, that I'm always very impressed with, but this was very clunky.
Keynote's convert to PowerPoint is very good.
Yeah,
it is. I can always tell when it's Keynote because it comes in at a 26 inch by, you know, whatever. Yeah, height. It's this massive size. And the master slide and the layouts are fairly well conformed. Mm-hmm. to the PowerPoint standard of what is a template. Canva, it was all over the board. It was mainly a bunch of slides.
Yeah. Which again, this goes back to the concept of it's not really a template.
Yeah.
They're just design slides.
What browser did you guys, Nolan, you mentioned Safari.
Yeah, I just use Safari. Okay. And I don't think I had any real issues. I mean, that I know about, unless, you know, tables are available in Firefox. Probably not.
They're not available in Edge. No. Sandy, I use Microsoft Edge. I had no issues, but maybe I did because I did have that crash trying to use Presenter View. So I thought I had no issues, but maybe it was browser based.
Well, I worked in Chrome and the only problem I had was the stuttering transition, but I don't know if that's a browser or a tool.
Oh, that might, issue. Well, you have good internet, so it's probably not a bandwidth issue. Well, anybody look at it in the mobile version? Did anybody open up and look?
I did not.
I have the app installed. I did look at it. I can't say I've used it enough to say, wow, or I know what I'm talking about, but it's all there. And it's kind of a big deal, I think, to be able to say, hey, look, we worked in three different browsers and we could work anywhere. We could work remote. I'm not sure if there's an actual like tablet version that would have a bigger UI. But it's, you know, I think that's one thing that PowerPoint has, but in a different way. You know, they have the iOS version, they have the web version, and they have the desktop version. Mm-hmm. They're all slightly different experiences and you have to install different things. Mm-hmm. Here, Canva just kind of feels like the same thing across everywhere, which is, I guess that's a really good note that none of us had major issues and it can be used everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a huge advantage. And you can create your social media images with it.
Perfect.
All right.
I'm just going to go back to what they do good.
So what about just, you know, we're nearing the end of our conversation. What about just have an open conversation? What was your experience? The tools, the features, save, anything?
Google and PowerPoint are making huge investments in collaboration. And I did a minor test of the ability to share a presentation with others to help edit. So they have two levels of sharing. Hey, I'm going to share this with you. And it's really simple. It says, do you want to edit it or do you just want to be able to let them view it? I thought that was pretty cool because you can send something that can't be edited or I don't know if you can download it or not. I didn't test that far. It did work, but it's not the collaborative experience that Microsoft and Google are all about. Mm-hmm. So when they each say collaborative, you know, with both Google and Microsoft in PowerPoint, you know, if we're collaborating, I can be editing, all three of us can be editing the same presentation. Those updates are happening and we can see them happening live. The Canva one was more about, hey, I'm going to share it. We can both have it open, but you know, there's no interaction between us. There's no notification. Other things have happened. So it's truly more of a shared environment where I think Microsoft and especially Google, they've really nailed the collaboration of multiple authors, knowing what the other authors are doing. Overall, I liked it. It is kind of cool. They have a file and save option, which, you know, Microsoft's online apps don't. They just assume every time you do something, it saves. And I still have a hard time closing a browser window without saying file and save. I just want to know I've done something. You know, I've asked them, I'm like, could you just give me like a fake button that just makes me feel good? Like I click save. what do you guys think overall experience? What about you?
I really like the concept of Canva overall. But I mean, design for non-designers is a huge need out there. But the presentation part of it still feels like a small tacked on module for what should ultimately be major software. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't know what the solution is. Is it like a different site or a clear different, like it's called Canva presentation or Canva Prez, you know, versus normal Canva? Because just having it as sort of this extra thing, like, oh, create a Facebook ad or a Twitter thing or a presentation. Like it I'm sorry, but presentation is just, it's a larger thing. We need more. I mean, it's as though they would have a photo editing module, like a lot of apps do. But if you really want to compete with Photoshop, it's going to have to be a separate thing.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's a lot of the simple things that everyone really expects at this point. Like I found it very frustrating. There's no outlining. You can't outline anything.
Really?
Like text you can't outline. the shadows, but like I had the markers on the map and they're white markers. And when I overlapped them, I was like, oh, I should just put a little outline so you can see the difference. That's when I discovered there's no outline. Okay. Like, oh, maybe that's because it's an inserted graphic, but then I had a shape. And yeah, so I consider
that. So you did
a
have
pretty,
a shape. You were using a vector.
No, I was actually using an inserted graphic. Oh, but then when I went to a shape, yeah, it's just, there's so many little things that aren't there that I think, like Beautiful Slide, Beautiful AI, they had a lot, you know, it was kind of, I had a very different experience there. I was like, oh yeah, I could do that. Oh yeah, I could do that. I had to kind of look for it, or a lot of times it automatically did it. The AI part of it thought it would be better and I wanted to undo it. I didn't come away frustrated that I couldn't do things. Here I came away frustrated by limitations.
Yeah.
Maybe that's my big takeaway.
Well, my big frustration was, well, I'll back up. In PowerPoint, if I crash, which happens, I think a lot less than it used to happen, I can recover at least some of my presentation, in all of it, if I'm working in OneDrive, right, Troy? I mean, it gets that with that autosave. I completely lost my Canva file. And in a busy corporate world, I would have been lost. I would have been, you know, I can't even imagine. I would have cried probably. I also want to mention, though, on Google Slides, I've never had a crash. So just a little side note there. But that's my big deal. That's my big takeaway.
All right. So let's be judgmental. Is Canva a PowerPoint? Because we haven't so far.
No.
We've been very nice. Is Canva a PowerPoint alternative for the corporate presentation?
What do you say, Nolan?
No. Again, the real problem for me, and I've said this in a few different ways with all these PowerPoint killers, is they try to make creating the initial slide, including design, very fast and easy. And Canva does that. The breakdown comes in when you need to customize that content and change your layout to accommodate not three, but four items, or not one, but two images, or a gradient background and not a flat background, or a table, or a scatter plot, or a video starting at the 10-second mark, or, you know, just go on and on. And you very quickly realize that for all its faults, PowerPoint has over the years learned what people need when creating presentations. And even the most simplest of presentations eventually is going to need more features and customization than is convenient, I think, for these programs to provide. I also think it's worth noting that, while yes, it may be much faster to get your initial template and cool title slide in Canva, you may end up spending literally hours trying to create a table or bring your column line combo chart in that shows your quarterly sales, which you have to go back to Excel and PowerPoint anyway. So, you know, in terms of this time thing, is it quicker in the long run? For some people, you might end up just spending more time editing than you would in Microsoft or Keynote or Prezi. See, I gave a shout out to Prezi there.
Okay. Yeah. I totally agree. Especially if we're saying for the corporate presentation, again, that quick novel presentation, that student presentation, this has the tools that are needed there, because those audiences generally don't know of the more robust features, and they generally aren't looking for how to, parse the corporate data three different ways. And you know, the templates, very nice. Lots of well-designed preset layouts, very professional. Way, way, way diverse. Did you guys, it's kind of a side note here. I had a problem that when you click templates and you go to add a slide, it doesn't keep you, like if I'm in a template, I would expect that templates thing to stay on the template I'm in, but it kept going back to the beginning. And I actually had to remember, I actually had to make a note of which template it was, like which category was that in and what was it called?
You don't know what template you're using. If like month from now you need to add a new slide, right?
Exactly. I found it very frustrating that it wouldn't recognize I'm in a template and I had to go find that template again to add a new slide. So things like that. So sorry, I'm bringing that one up as not part of my judgmental thing, but just as a sudden remembering, we do a lot of custom PowerPoint and Keynote template projects and they have a true back end. I don't feel that these ones have a true back end. They're just really, really great boilerplate setups. They're very fast to use, you know, a lot of professional visuals if you fit your content and message to that preset layout. Because like you said, Nolan, as soon as you want to expand it or contract it to add more, it becomes a lot of work. Judgmental. Is this an enterprise tool? No, is my opinion. It's a great tool for visual communication, For several years, people have been creating engaging images in Canva and then putting them onto slides. Now, they're not editable. They're just a slide. As a matter of fact, I believe the Guy Kawasaki presentation you were referencing, that was all created in Canva before there was a presentation tool. It created all the images, and those were laid into, I'm sure he was using Keynote at the time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a great visual image creator, aggregator of content, really cool way of laying out, but I don't think it's a presentation tool yet.
Is it an alternative for corporate presentations? Not yet. It's for college kids and high schoolers and maybe anyone for whom branding is not important.
Oh, we didn't even talk about that.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Canva is
now,
not.
No, it does have the custom color palette thing, but yeah.
It's hard to control.
It's limited.
Yep. It's not ready for creating easy to use presentations for company wide use.
Canva is a robust set of online design tools that includes social media images, the print files, presentation slides. I mean, it does a lot. While we see the possibilities, we all agree Canva's presentation tool, it's not as robust as PowerPoint's feature-rich offering, and it's not, at this time, a replacement for PowerPoint. But Canva does offer some great resources for images. It does offer easy-to-use tools, and with a little formatting effort, a little more than a lot of people would want, you can produce professional presentation, especially if the presentation is focused on big visuals, some smaller stylized, minimal text callouts, and minimal amounts of data. It can work. It's good. It's an option. But at this point, their whole robust marketing and articles saying it's out there to replace PowerPoint or Google Slides, not seeing it just yet.
Okay, so let's give our pro and tech tips. I'll start. It's kind of simple, and this is something I didn't really understand, but before this little exercise that we had today, but use Canva for your animated GIFs. It was so easy.
So just walk us through it. How do you exactly do it?
Well, no, it's you create your content and you export it as a GIF.
But you're creating multiple screens? That's how
yes,
you have to do it?
Yes, yes. Okay. Right. It's much like PowerPoint's export to video. You create the sequence that you want to occur and in the time frame that you want it to occur, and just export it with its GIF feature, and you've got an animated GIF. You can't control, again, the individual elements, but I just thought it was an easy GIF tool.
And this is from presentation. This is not a separate, like, poster or business card. It's within
PowerPoint. It probably is there, right?
But as a separate tool?
Well,
you
know,
Sandy, I just found it.
Yeah.
You go to download, you know, the download and the video file format.
Yep.
At the very bottom, right above the download thing is file format. Do you want an MP4 animated GIF? I didn't see it before. I mean, it's obvious. It's a big, huge drop down. But
it's interesting. It's only in presentation. I can't seem to find it, like, in the rest of Canva.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So
it's definitely, sorry, I'm exporting mine. It's tied up. I want to see what my presentation looks like as an animated GIF. Yeah, there's definitely a GIF generator within the, within the social media image area. I just can't get to it, but anyways, I also can't get back to my notes.
So Troy, how about
okay,
you?
Okay. So Sandy's topic, use Canva to make animated GIFs, mm-hmm. which is very cool.
What do you have, Troy?
Okay, so mine's really, really minor, but it's so nice. So, you know, you guys all have like little USB thumb drives, little transfer drives, you know, they're all, and you lose them and you hand them out. So we got these newer ones. They're really thin. They're really, really nice. I should probably make them one of my tech tips. And what's really funny is I'm looking around my desk. I don't have one with me. But they're hard to get out because they're so thin. You know, you got to reach in and grab them. And I was like, well, you know, they have a little loop on it. So here's my tech tip. I bought off of Amazon a wire keyring hoops. I don't know what to call them. Not, you know, they twist on, they twist off. They have a little knurled end here so you can, you know, the luggage tag holder is what we also use them for. That's why we had them actually, is to put luggage tags in all of our bags, whatnot. I looped it through the USB key and they're color coded And it suddenly became like a game changer. So, you know, I get red. I think Lori chose the yellow ones. You know, everybody has their own color, but not only that, when you give the USB key to somebody, they're more likely. I haven't lost one since I've been using this for the past, I don't know, 4 or 5 months, because people go, oh, this is somebody's. It's not mine because it has this big ring thing on it. Oh. I'll put a link to it. It's kind of hard to describe, but it's basically just a little wire ring that you know, you can screw onto anything. And I use them all over our USB drives.
You could,
well, it'd be like a Barbie size bracelet, yeah. The ones I bought.
Yeah.
They're literally, I mean, what is that? That's like a 1 inch, an inch and a half diameter when you loop it. They're short. They're small. Yeah. It's like $10 for 20 of them. You can't go wrong.
If you're losing them, you should do like the gas station bathroom key thing. Like just put it like attached to a 2x4.
A daisy flower.
All right, so my tech tip is the Rototrim paper cutter. Now, this is a company that they make paper cutters. Now, if you think a paper cutter is the guillotine style that, like, yeah. you know what we're talking about, right? And that is what it's called.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Where you, like, I have never, ever been able to get one of those to work properly. It always, like, shifts as it's going down. If you cut paper ever, like even like once a year, you need this Rototrim paper cutter. These are the professional ones. I got turned onto them years ago in my agency days. You can find them sometimes in like FedEx or Staples type places occasionally. It's a flat board. They make them in all different sizes, and it comes with two rails on the side that have a circular, like a pizza cutter, basically blade attached to this little thing. You can't cut yourself with it. You can't like get your fingers under it. And however it works, the blade is constantly being sharpened as it moves. So it never gets dull. It has guides and things don't shift as you cut it. I love this thing so much that, believe it or not, this will tell you something about my wife and I. We registered for one of these at our wedding.
Oh, you're funny.
Because they're not cheap. They're not cheap. But
No. I was going to say, what size do you have? Because they're folks, just Nolan, throw a link in there, because they start at like $150.
Oh, easy. Yeah. I think
I've used cheaper versions, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, No, this is the professional one. They can get up to $400 or $500, $600. But, and I think maybe ours was maybe like $300 or $400, but it will last you a lifetime. End of story. Like, it doesn't need sharpening. It is amazing. So
this is Troy Collar from TLC Creative Services, a professional design agency. Check us out at tlccreative.com. The PowerPoint blog is finally getting some attention. It has a great starting with Memorial Day. I did a little video, Memorial Day video, all developed in PowerPoint. I was kind of proud of that. And then I did a how-to. We did a whole morph series by, you know, look at it. You can see a series on morphs and the new object naming. And then starting this week, I have a 2-week series of posts directly on Canva, which will include demo projects from not only a bunch of how-tos, but also demo projects from our design team, just to see some of the variation, and everybody designed to the same presentation that Nolan, Sandy, and I did. So that's at thepowerpointblog.com.
This is Nolan Hames from Nolan Hames Creative. Check out my blog, presentyourstory.com. Subscribe for lots of free downloads and goodies. And if your organization is looking for on-site data or presentation training, give us a call.
And this is Sandy Johnson with Presentation Wiz. You can visit my website and blog at presentationwiz.biz, the guild at presentationguild.org, and I'm also on LinkedIn as Sandra Johnson, PowerPoint MVP, and Twitter as at PPTWiz.
For episode show notes, links, and more from this episode, visit us at our website, www.thepresentationpodcast.com. The Presentation Podcast is produced by TLC Creative Services, Inc. You can contact us with episode suggestions, questions for our hosts, or comments through our website. Subscribe at the iTunes Store or at our website for additional options. If you like the podcast, rate us on iTunes. Stars and reviews are greatly appreciated. Look for new episodes the first and third Tuesday of each month.